This morning's scripture is a little bit reversed. So I'll be reading from Romans 15, 18 through 21. For I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to win obedience from the Gentiles by word and deed, by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and as far around as Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the good news of Christ. Thus, I make it my ambition to proclaim the good news, not where Christ has already been named, so that I do not build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him shall see, and those who have never heard of him shall understand. Thanks be to the Lord.
We've been speaking about witness, about how do we share our faith, and the words witness and testimony are often used when we're talking about telling others about the message of Jesus. And those are legal words. And legally, you don't have a choice when it comes to being a witness. If a crime happens in front of you, you're obligated to testify. It may be true that no one can gainsay you if you say you had a lapse of memory or some other excuse. But our legal system fails if personal responsibility goes down the tubes. Human legal systems appeal to a person's conscience. Christians are also called to witness. When the first apostles needed a replacement for Judas, who had betrayed Jesus, the essential requirements to reestablish the full 12 was that the person had, and I quote, been with them from the baptism of John until the day when Jesus was taken up into heaven. One of these must be a witness to the resurrection. They were eyewitnesses, and they were obligated to testify. Same was true about the Apostle Paul, the author of Romans, from which Kathy read. And when we consider that passage, let's focus first on my ambition is to not preach where Christ is already named. In Paul's day, the name of Jesus was known in only a few places. Those of us who are older remember when it seemed everyone knew what happened on Easter, let alone Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. Today, I think they said that more people think the Easter Bunny rose on Easter than Jesus. Most people now on the street don't know the story of Jesus from death to resurrection, from birth through death to resurrection. It's important to get the word out. Look toward the subcultures within our area with very little knowledge of our Lord, especially those groups without a witness. That's why the work of New Day Quincy is very important among immigrant populations in Quincy. But one of those groups is American school children. And in this light, Vacation Bible School is very, very important. Huge number of our kids today don't know the story of Jesus. But I especially want us to consider what it was that Paul chose to speak about. It's not about Paul. And it's not about a good code of ethics to live by. Both have benefits, certainly. But Paul knew he couldn't save anyone. And if Henry David Thoreau could write from his pond near Concord, Massachusetts, that most people live lives of quiet desperation, even though he didn't profess to be a Christian, then we need to take that to heart and offer a way out of the desperation. Offer hope. This is why Paul said, I would not dare to speak anything other than what Christ accomplished. Accomplished and accomplished in Paul. So we have a witness about the work of Christ. He died to set us free and overcame death by rising again. And also a witness about what that work, how that has shown itself in our lives. What has Christ accomplished in your life and mine? These two aspects of our witness work together. We need them both. Without who Jesus is and what he accomplished in his earthly ministry, our personal testimony of what he's done in our lives could be reduced to little more than someone recommending a particular brand of rabbit's foot. But because Jesus was predicted hundreds of years in advance to come as the Son of God, because he came and documented human history, because he taught soul-piercing truth, because he underwent an unjust, brutal death for the sake of the entire lost human race, because he rose from the dead and rose up to heaven, and will return both in judgment and in rescue, according to prophecies which, as the Revelation class is seeing, prove themselves more and more as time advances. Because of all this, then, the change that Jesus makes in real life today is proof of his history. And his history is proof of the difference he makes. So I'm going to invite you to learn from a strategy for witness from Philip, an early Greek-speaking follower of Jesus. And like Stephen, Philip's first role of service was helping to feed some poor widows. But God soon gave Philip additional opportunities. This first aspect of a strategy for witness is to remember that God is involved in the witness of his message. Pray for opportunities and recognize them as they come. And that's rather to see that God is involved, rather easy to see it, when we read from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a wilderness road. So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" And then Philip began to speak. And starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Philip heard a messenger of God tell him to go to this place. He knew God was involved in the witness of his message. Carol and I went to the musical Born for this week. It's the life story of B.B. Winans, the gospel singer, loaded with terrific music, humor, pain, and faith. Great show. And there was a fellow sitting next to Carol who loved musical theater, but hadn't had a good experience growing up in the church. And God was involved in the sitting. The fellow resisted, but I know Carol presented herself as a compassionate follower of Jesus to that hurting man. And I trust that God used it in his life. We have to leave the rest to God. After recognizing that God is involved, begin where the person you are talking to is. Find the spiritual bridge between where the person is and the message of Jesus that can change his life or her life. Philip knew what this Ethiopian was thinking about because most people read out loud back then. Notice that Philip started with the question as he hears him reading an Old Testament prophecy. Do you understand what you are reading? He's asking questions, always a good beginning. The Ethiopian could have been mouthing the words, but actually thinking about the stresses from his job. He had a very stressful job. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we have to be careful not to just be mouthing the words and have our brain go somewhere else. I can be distracted from my morning Bible reading the same way. Philip's question brought the eunuch's mind back to the words of Scripture. His answer to Philip's question made Philip's next step evident because he invited Philip to come on up and join him in the chariot. So begin where the person you are speaking to is. Find out. Be investigative. And the third strategy, aspect of the strategy for witness is do not be embarrassed to open your Bible. And yes, the Ethiopian already has his scroll open. But Philip then told the good news about Jesus, the central message of the whole Bible. And once written, it became the New Testament. And our Bible, our culture, rather, both reveres and reviles the Bible simultaneously. How many jobs have I been to that they give me a manual and they say, this is your Bible? It's a hint. It's a hint. The Bible is still seen as something to live by. Many people have a reverence for the Bible, even if they don't know the Bible very well at all. There's a section of the Roman Catholic Church, sad to say, that in spite of Vatican II, tries to tell lay people the Bible is too hard for the average person to understand, so leave it to the priest. So they know, still they know it's true, and they're ripe for exposure to the message. Just as simple as whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish but have everlasting life is not hard to understand. And you can take the passage that the eunuch was reading, Isaiah 53, and show how it precisely predicts many aspects of Jesus' suffering and death. So if you can, open your Bible. And it's easier today than ever. If you have a smartphone, I was going to bring mine out, but I leave mine not outside the office because it's really embarrassing when somebody calls me during my sermon. But if you have a smartphone, get the Kindle app if you don't already and search for Free Bible and get it on there. It could be something for you to read at a time of just being stuck somewhere, but also it can come into handy as a witness tool. And if I happen to see you looking at your phone during the sermon, you can always say, Pastor, I was just following the scripture on my Kindle app. So don't be afraid to open your Bible. Now, everyone has pain, and few people have hope. That's why the fourth aspect of this strategy for witness is so important. Major on Jesus and the resurrection. Now, part of the section that the eunuch was reading said, his generation, who can tell? For his life was taken from the earth. At that point, it sounds like whoever the suffering servant was, his life was over and that was it. And for a lot of folks, that's one of the least gripping portions of that prophecy because it's not predicting that he'd be crucified between two criminals or that a rich man would be involved in his burial, all these different things. But remember who Philip is talking to. Remember that eunuchs were men who were voluntarily castrated in order to be trusted near a female ruler. Their power came at a cost. His family tree would go no farther. his generation, who could tell? Speaking to you as a man with no biological offspring, I can tell you that the question of legacy comes up. How much more would it have for this man? Inside, he was empathizing with the man in the scripture. He's saying, who will tell of my generation, of my life, when I am taken from the earth? Now that could be despair if this life is all there is. But the message of Jesus brings hope. Life eternal. Changes the game. You're not going to be snuffed out and never have mattered. God wants you to live forever with him. That's a core of our message. The questions that the Holy Spirit had birthed in the eunuch's heart gave Philip an easy opportunity to talk about what Jesus had done, to major in Jesus and the resurrection, by leading in with a prophecy that led directly to that information. Don't be afraid to open your Bible, major on Jesus and the resurrection, and finally, be direct. Philip must have been direct because the official was ready to be baptized the moment he saw water. It's a dry area between Jerusalem and Gaza, which is, you know, that strip near the Mediterranean, but on the long way along, nothing much. Finally come to an oasis with a pool of water. It was not lost on either Philip nor the eunuch that God was personally involved in his message. The official saw very clearly what Christ had accomplished in the lives of those who gave themselves to him, because Philip had shown up at just the right time. God had been involved. In the same way, this week in the theater, Carol and I both heard the pain of the man, but urged him to not give up on God just because some people had made mistakes in how they represented him. Are you ever stopped from inviting others to join God's family because you think, I don't have any testimony? Do you ever think, well, God's not done anything special in me? Well, evil is insidious in our world because it's organized. It's personalized. There's a supernatural, though submoral and not supreme, leader of the forces that would stand against God, the devil. Jesus spoke a lot about the devil. Jesus said the devil came to kill, cheat, and destroy, but that he, Jesus, had come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So for all the times when you realize that you no longer lead a life of quiet desperation, you have a testimony. God has a purpose for your life. You're not a random accident of collisions of atoms. Most of our neighbors try to avoid thinking about their loneliness and helplessness. But you have found a friend who stays closer than a brother. I believe that many Christians who don't think they have any work of God in their life to give witness to, don't think Christ has accomplished much, they're nonetheless devoted to God in Christ because the reassurance they have in their heart when they worship, when they pray, when they are with God's people in honest, let's get down to it, deep personal fellowship. The Easter hymn says, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. And Jesus promised, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Along this line, I was reminded of a remarkable film that was shown here one dinner in a movie night called Alone Yet Not Alone. The film's title is a translation of an old German hymn. Alone yet not alone. Interesting phrase. Relevant today? When people have 800 Facebook friends and no one they can trust? No one they can call to pick them up when their car stalls? You bet it's relevant. That hymn, Alone Yet Not Alone, in its original German, a woman named Magdalena Hartmann sang every night before bedtime to her children in their rough-hewn home in 18th century Pennsylvania, 1700s. And one of Magdalena's descendants, Tracy Leininger Cravens, wrote a book by the same name. The book is the true story of her ancestors, Magdalena and Regina Hartman Leininger, mother and daughter. That story was made into the movie. True story. Magdalena, or Regina, the daughter, was part of this Pennsylvania German Lutheran immigrant family. Regina was taken forcibly from her home by the Delaware Indians in the 1755 Penn's Creek Massacre. You can look it up. During the French and Indian War. And she was missing for several years. Then in 1763, a large number of obviously European captives were rescued by a Colonel Henry Bouquet. And the captain brought them to the city of Carlisle in Pennsylvania. And families came from far and away looking for their lost loved ones. But some of the captives no longer had a memory of their European families. So Magdalena Hartman, Regina's mother, had heard via the German pastor in a nearby town of the returned captives. She too had gone off to Carlisle. And she walked among the freed captives, looking at every face and into every eye. It had been more than 8 years. Regina had only been 12 when she was taken. My daughter is not here, she tearfully told Colonel Bouquet. Look again, said the colonel. No, insisted the woman, my daughter's not here. Is there some special way you could recognize her? A mark of some kind? No, said Magdalena. My daughter was perfect, unblemished in any way. Well, perhaps a word, a song she would recognize. Mrs. Hartman thought back to the old German hymns she'd sing to her children. And perhaps that would spark recognition. So she started to sing, but feeling foolish, stopped quickly. And Colonel Bouquet said, no, go on. So once again, she began to softly sing that hymn, walking slowly among the remaining captives as she did. Allein und doch nicht ganz allein. Up and down the line she went. A girl whom everyone thought was Native American and was called Sawquehanna heard the sound and listened intently as something was awakened in her memory. And suddenly she ran to Magdalena and started to sing herself. And she cried out, Mutter, Mutter. And her mother cried, Regina, in return. Two women ran tearfully into each other's arms, still singing together the beautiful German hymn they had sung so long ago. Even when Regina was feeling so very alone, she had not been alone. I love that Johnny Erickson Tada recorded the song, Alone Yet Not Alone. And you may know, Johnny has been a quadriplegic since she was 17, coming on 50 years. And she has boldly testified to the work of God in her life, able to paint beautifully by holding the brush in her mouth. She's become a much sought-after speaker and singer. So it's especially appropriate that she sings Alone Yet Not Alone. And I've asked Sarah to play the video that shows us the lyrics. And you might recognize it because not too long ago, Nancy Sporky sang it for us. Let's hear that video.
I'm alone, yet not alone. God's the light that will guide me home. With his love and tenderness, leading through the wilderness. And where I may roam, so mighty is his shield, for his love is now revealed. When my steps are lost and desperate for a guide, I can feel his touch, a soothing presence by my side. Alone, yet not alone, not forsaken.
Every day, we encounter people who would love to know how not to be lonely, even when they are on their own. Let us each ask God to lead us by His Holy Spirit to remember that God is involved in the witness of His message, to begin where the person we're speaking to is, to not be embarrassed to open our Bibles, to major on Jesus and the resurrection, and to be direct. We are not alone even when alone. God has accomplished much. God bless you as you seek to be His witness. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, help us to remember that You are involved. And You have no other plan but for us to be Your witnesses. And so bless our witnesses far away, the missionaries of this church and our Kenya team now. Bless the folk of New Day. They may reach out to the people of Quincy. But help us, Lord, to be Your witnesses to the folk You place in our lives who need to know how You will be the friend who stays ever by their side. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.